We are in the making. We are in the story. We are in the journey. And don't you love that the Lord hasn't finished yet what He started? Aren't you glad that He hasn't said the end yet? That's good news right there, because as the old saying would say, you know, it's not over until there's a song. Things finish when the song comes. But today I want to share about how things start because a song started things. So that's why songs finish things, because a song started it. And so we're going to jump into Genesis today and just have a little look at the beginnings. It's always a good place to start, isn't it? If you want to understand the end, get to know the beginning. And there's something that I just want to draw out today in who Jesus is that I know is going to bless someone. I know someone here today is going to walk out a changed person, because when you encounter the one that was and is to come, you cannot but be changed. So we're going to just believe for that. Father, we thank you for the perfect Son. And we thank you for Jesus, your highest priority, your highest thought, and your highest way expressed through the person of Jesus. And today we welcome him here as we've been worshiping and praising you. Thank you that you're inhabited our praises today. Lord, you've come through the bread and the wine today in welcoming us to the table. You are present, and we honor the King of Kings today. There is no one greater than you, King Jesus. And we thank you for the blood and the body, the greatest gift we could ever receive to bring us in. Put your hands on your ears. Lord, I pray by the Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear your word today. Cause your word to find its way into our heart, and let there be light in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the things I want to draw out today from Genesis 1 is a pattern that we can see here in the word of the Lord, where we can draw a principle for our life. We can draw something from Genesis 1. In Hebrew culture, it's called the 10 expressions, the let there be's, let there be, 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 let there be. 10 times we see in the creation account, let there be. So let's read it together. If you've got your Bible at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste and an emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, and brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be." And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw what the light was good. Sorry. And God saw that the light was good. And he affirmed it and sustained it. And God separated the light, or he distinguished it from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was more morning, day one. Day one. Wow. So much just in these first five verses. This is only day one. We haven't even got to day two yet, where God creates the heavens and the sky and separates the water from the land and creates seas and oceans. And then he begins to, on the third day, he creates, expanse. On day four, it says he creates and says, let there be a sun in the earth to to govern the day. And let there be a moon in the heavens to govern the night. And let there be stars, starry hosts to fill them. Day four. And we know that on day five, he begins to create more of that creation in the seas, the fish, and then he begins to create the birds of the air. And then on day six, he creates more animals and he creates us. And on the seventh day, he rests. So I want us to draw our attention to the let there be. The let there be, the 10 expressions of God. Let there be. The Hebrew word for this is haya or. Haya meaning let it come into existence. Let it be not just formed, but let it be completely formed even before it's existed. Let it come out of what was a pattern in my mind and let it manifest in the natural. The Hebrew word for light is or, O-double-R. When we hear the word menorah, we know that that's speaking of light. Even in the seven-branched candle that speaks of Jesus, the center candle, and all of the spirits of God coming out of the Christ. I love that picture. Menorah. Everyone say menorah. So or is the part that is light. As I've been leaning in and reading and studying on this topic, I began to see a deeper, richer expression here. And I think probably for all of eternity, we will be continually looking upon this element here because it makes so much understanding of everything is happening here. Everything comes from this space. And so the Lord has just begin to speak to me and said, Andrew, there is a pattern here that I want you to begin to apply into your life. And he showed me that as he said, he saw what he said. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that there was light and that it was good. And then he blessed it. He affirmed it. And I saw a pattern that what he sees, he speaks. And what he sees manifest is because he said it. So he says it because he sees it, but he sees it because he says it. That's who he is. But because we're made on day six in the image of God, nothing else in creation carries this special ability or power to speak what we see and see what we speak and to bless it and to create. The monkeys didn't get it. They got a nose and eyes and a hairy body, but they didn't get the ability to see and to say and to see it manifest and the ability to bless it. Because that's the pattern of the Lord. So he's put that in you and I. So there is something here for us to get, and that is that we begin to create the world in which we live by the words that we see and the words that we say. Words that are just words are just words. But words that you see and words that you say and see, it's a whole different ballgame. And some might say, well, I haven't seen it yet. Well, say it and you might see it. If I say Hungry Jack's Whopper, wow, that was quick. Your image of God in you is working really, really well. You just didn't even just see it. You just began to taste it. And the more I speak about it, the more you're entering in. And I think I've even influenced someone's choices this afternoon. Because that Whiskey River Whopper is something else. Come on, Auntie. So there is a pattern. There is a blueprint here that works in every human experience. No matter what color, race, time you live in, whether 50 years in the past, now, or 1,000 years into the future, this pattern remains. Seed, time, and harvest. As the earth and the sun are in this pattern, this is what God has set up. It is not changing. He is unchanging. So the little takeaway that I want to just speak to you today is, if you're living in an unmanifested experience of something that you would like to see happen, you have to see it. If you want to see it, you have to see it. Now start speaking it into existence and let there be, fill in the space. This pattern works even without the Holy Spirit. This pattern works even without the fear of the Lord. And so it is powerful, but it becomes even more powerful for us with the revelation of who Christ is and our position in Him. But God is actually okay with us using this because He set it up. It's a pattern. It is built in. It's a feature that came with who you are when you were born. It's there. So there's something here for us to tap into. If you haven't seen it yet, keep speaking it, because it will come. And then when it comes, you get to choose to bless it. I think sometimes we're seeing manifest in our life things that we've been speaking and saying, and we don't bless it. Oh, this is so frustrating. This person that's in my life right now, this family member in my life right now. But you've been asking and speaking certain things into being. He just made room for that. So begin to bless even your enemies, who the Lord is using to bring about His purposes. Likewise, we need to ask the Lord, what is it, the false picture that we've been seeing, the fear picture we've been seeing, and we've been speaking that into existence, and we're coming out for prayer every week, asking for the Lord to heal our body, or help us with a financial situation, or a relationship issue. The Lord began to speak to me today. He said, Andrew, I'm going to begin to move in the wounds of the womb. The corruption that's happened in the imagination realm through wounds at the womb level. So that we can redeem this, so that we can begin to carry a new picture in our womb and begin to give birth to what the Lord is trying to do on the earth through us. The enemy keeps miscarrying and keeps destroying the seed, the word, the word. And we're going to jump into this, the word. So if you haven't seen it, say it. And as you say it, you will begin to see it. And as you see it, bless it and give thanks to the Lord, for He is the giver of all good things. Amen. All right, changing gear. Beautiful songs that we were singing today. Hey, one of the revelations that many Bible scholars and Hebrew leaders, as we read into this account and study Genesis, there is a whole school of thought of theologians that believe that the creation story wasn't the Lord just saying, but that the Lord Creator God was singing creation into being. I wish I could go into the depth of this, but I don't feel the grace on it today. Other than how much does that change inside of us, just that idea alone, that he is singing into being everything we know. Who sees things when they're singing? Who gets to have visions and your eyes are open and often you'll see things when you're in that place of singing? Singing and seeing are in the spirit almost a simultaneous thing. Hard to separate. And I saw all the book of Revelation. See it. As I beheld. As Jesus is ascending into heaven. And they worshipped. The angels are constantly singing. The elders, the creatures around the throne. The throne room is an orchestra of song. Makes sense that the Genesis 1 story would actually be God singing. I was looking into this a little bit more, and there's a man who I can't pronounce his name, a Hebrew guy with a big long white beard and a cap on his head. And he was talking about the mystical power of music, and was just saying of all creation, all nationalities on the planet, there is a universal love for music. It is undeniable. You cannot find a culture that is void of this. It exists in some form. And in the most important parts of celebration of every culture, you can line it up that if there's something important happening, a ceremony, a birth, a death, a coronation, there is song. It's put to song because song expresses something of the deep parts that words cannot. It transcends. Singing and music transcend the voice in our normal talking. I was leaning into this and I was sharing with some of the worship leaders and just talking about it. As I was talking about it, I was getting revelation more and more. And I began to see the birds that he creates or is singing into being. And as he was singing the birds into being, I think it's day 5, the birds get something. They get something really unique. And it's almost like God, whether he had to intend it. Nothing about God is unintentional. But that he imparts something of his singing nature into the birds. And that every morning, the birds remind us, but maybe even remind Elohim Creator of this moment. So he relives every day. His mercies are new every day. As all creation is singing, we were singing today. All of creation is singing. Guess who's leading the singing? The birds. The other cool secret thing about the birds is that the Lord entrusts, as we unfold Genesis 2 and 3 and 4, is that the Lord gives seed. It says he gave seed to us, the humankind, that we may eat of it, each seed to produce after its own kind. And he gives us seed to steward. But guess what? He goes, oh, but I brought the birds in for you. Not only are they good singers, they're really good sowers. And they're good eaters. My daughter Abby has 2 budgies, and I've shared a story about one of those budgies here before and how God just blessed Abigail, my daughter, with a budgie. But every now and then, I look in that budgie seed box, and I've topped it up. But just after a couple of days, man, they have eaten so many seeds. And all that's left, I have to hold it outside and do this. And the chaff or the husks all over my face, up my arms. You know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm some more budgie husk. So the birds eat the seeds and take those seeds everywhere. And guess what they're doing? They're living out Genesis 1:28. Multiply. Multiply. So every day when you see a bird, it's God reflecting to you Genesis 1 and reminding you of Genesis 1:28. And all of creation is singing every day. Every day. Anyone had more connection with birds in the last 12 months than ever before? Probably because you moved to the country. I know what, we've moved into mom and dad's place, and man, it's bird crazy. It's bird crazy. Another amazing thing about seeds and science, this is a sciencey thing, is that when seeds germinate in the ground, scientists are going, what causes that seed to, whoop, like, germinate? What's happening? It's happening before, they've identified that most seeds are germinating in the darkness, but just before the dawn. Science, our logical thinking would say, sunlight would be an excellent catalyst for the seed to. But it's not. In fact, measurement says it's the coldest before the dawn. So is it the coolness? And they're going, that's not it. And it took not a scientist but an artist to say, guys, you're not seeing it. Guess what's happening before the dawn? The birds are singing. And there is a sound that releases a germination. Anyway, it's a big side topic, but just be friendly to birds and maybe outdo them in their singing and sowing. Anyway, consider the birds. The Lord said that they neither sow nor reap. Well, they definitely are sowing. They definitely are sowing. But they are fully trusting on their heavenly creator God to provide for them. Whew. Okay, moving into this next realm. Let's have a look at verse 3. We're going to drill in on just one line in this creation account. Let's pull it out in your word here. Verse 3 of Genesis 1. Then God sang. Okay, I know I might be not reading what it says there, but it doesn't disagree with the translation. And God sang, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, Bible trivia. What is this light? What is this light? Because it's interesting, but it's day 4 that we see the sun and the moon show up and the stars. I mean, let's just be really real right now. If we were to take away the sun, the moon, and the stars, something is happening here on day 1 that excludes them. And God sang and spoke, let there be light. And there was light. As we read in the Gospels, we see that Jesus makes the most amazing correlation of himself Jesus is rarely talking about himself in first person. He's often talking in interesting language, like the name that the Father has given, and the Son that the Father has given, and using parable, not actually even referring himself too many times. But when he says the words, "I am," it's like, wow. And we see this in John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world." Directly linking to Genesis 1:3. I am light. So when God says, "Let there be light," is God the Father creating light? Or was the light always there, and what he was saying is, "I just want to unveil some light. Let there be what's already been." Almost like, I was thinking about this, saying, "Lord, what's a good analogy?" And if we had a stage behind me and a veil of curtains, similar to the ones that are behind us, but if they were on the stage, and I'd invited an amazing guest artist to come today. Let's just say it was Guy Sebastian. Ooh, some of the ladies in the house are like, "Ooh, that'd be good. I like Guy Sebastian." But let's say that he was waiting out the back, and I'd finished what I was saying, and I'm introducing what's about to happen. And I would say, "Let there be Guy Sebastian." And Guy Sebastian would fill the place that he's been invited to fill. So, theologically, anything that says that Jesus didn't live eternally and is an uncreated being, any religion, anyone that says that Jesus isn't eternal, we know that that is not the truth. Because the truth is that he is the uncreated one. So that light wasn't created at Genesis 1:3. That light was actually in the Father, hidden in the heart of the Father. So I want you to imagine a whole, just come with me, imagine an expanse of space without sun, moon, or stars. And God is in the midst, filling all things, completely filling that expanse. His omnipresence, everywhere all at once. But in his heart of hearts is his Son, the light. And I want you to imagine a glow on the chest of Creator God that looks like a spark that begins to burn like an ember, and his whole being lights up, and he sings, "Let there be," and as he opens his mouth, "light." The amazing thing about light, other than its ability to travel very fast, is that it fills the space in which it shines into. Man, it's so hard for us to step into this, but I want us to grab something that before God created all the other elements, he said, "Let there be light." And out of that, "Let there be light," everything is held together by this light. Everything. Everything. And so as that light now take center stage. We read in Proverbs 3 and 4, it says, I, wisdom, was there at the foundation. And I was there. It says in Proverbs 3, through wisdom, the Lord established the earth, and through understanding, he established the heavens. But considers this a person, puts a personal touch, and says, even says she, her, wisdom, personal, a being. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Highlight that in your Bible. This light isn't just ordinary light. This is life light. This is life. This is a substance that the language we use is light, but it is life in this light. It is power. It is a substance. And Jesus says, you only have to walk with me, walk in that light, and you will have that light of life. The Greek word for will have the light of light, life, the will have in 8:12, in the mirror translation, in the Greek, it says echo. That word will have, echo. Everyone say echo. Echo, 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 echo. We get that word from there, echo. That Greek word echo, will have, means to hold, to resonate, and to radiate. To hold, to resonate, and to radiate. I want to encounter this light. Anyone else? Let's keep going, because this is mind-blowing. Let me reread 8:12 from the Mirror Translation. I, Jesus, I am the light of the world. Whoever journeys with me shall not walk in darkness, but will radiate with the light of life. Just put your hand on yourself. Just go, man, I am called to radiate. I'm a radiator. All right, let's read John 1:1. Is this okay? In the beginning was the Word. Greek word means logos. We'll come back. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Woo! And the Word was God. He was with God when? In the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4. In him. Everyone say it. In him was life. And that life was the light. Here's a clue. Where there's life, there is light. And that light is him. Verse 5, the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The phrase I am is very powerful. The word, the Greek I am, means essence of being and a timeless existence. When you experience the light of life, you are experiencing something so old and so ancient that it has no beginning. That sustaining power has never been created. It always has been. So when he says, I am, we can guarantee that he is what he says he is. Jesus' incarnation into the flesh was not his origin. I think this is really powerful. Because he is the I am. He is the unborn light that took on flesh, entered the earth, and was born as one of us. Light took on flesh. And let's read it, Matthew 5, verse 13. Jesus is saying, You are the light. Hang on. He just said, I am the light. He's now calling me into the same place. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but we put it on a stand. Let the light shine. Verse 16, in the same way. Everyone say it. In the same way. Let your light shine before others that they may what? See. Pause. Let them see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Otherwise, let them have an encounter with light that reminds them that they are sons and daughters. Let your light shine so people can see. Without light, we cannot see. John 1:5 says, the light shines into darkness. I loved looking into this word darkness. It literally means mankind's ignorance of their redeemed identity and innocence. Should I say that again? I think we need to absorb this. Darkness represents mankind's ignorance of their redeemed identity. Rory was just doing that with us today, communion. Who do you think you are? Even the way you feel, even what you think, it doesn't matter because it's what he says. Here's what he says about my identity. It's all that matters. Thank you, Lord. Can I share a story with you? I was invited to minister to some young people. This was quite a few years ago. I would say about 6 years ago. And it was a youth group, and they were having a camp. So it was youth group camp. It was full of crazy teenagers. And I was asked to speak, and I spoke on sonship and identity. And I remember the message because the Lord was really working in my own heart around orphan, letting go of orphan, and sonship. And I remember, some of you may remember, every time I preached for just like 3 or 4 years straight, just so taken by this mindset or idea of sonship. And so I was sharing on that. At the end, I think there was a call to, if you identify and you just want to let go of orphan and come into adoption and sonship, come forward. And everyone came forward. I mean, it was just that emotional, amazing, and it was just like the Holy Spirit was on these kids, and they were just receiving the Father's embrace. Levi was with me, hugging me, and that wasn't role script. It was just being demonstrated. And so people were coming in. I remember coming down the line, and there was a young lady. And as the presence of the Lord was so strong, I went into a very clear picture for her. And I did the cardinal sin when you're praying for people or prophesying to close your eyes. I shouldn't have done that. But I closed my eyes. And I began to see a picture of this young lady being knitted together in her mom's womb. And as this was happening, as there was this substance being formed inside this mother's womb, I saw a picture of heavenly creator God with a violin over her and was playing the violin at this very moment of inception. So I'm sharing and relaying this story, and I was shared the picture, but then said, the Lord delights in you. He delights, and then I'm opening my eyes to just get ready to move on to the next person and check in. And she was on her knees. She was bawling. The whole front the whole line gathered around her. And I'm like, whoa, okay, something's going on here. Her friend, her closest friend, could see the look of the question on my mind and proceeded to share an answer and just said, this young lady is an exquisite violinist. I didn't know these guys from a bag of beans, but someone else did. And they said, not only is she an exquisite violinist, but from the earliest age, she's been considered a prodigy. And she's been selected by the best in town. Like, they have changed the program at UQ's Academy for Music and made room for her to join in 2 years before she could even qualify. And she is the up-and-coming foremost violinist in the nation. I kind of didn't even have time to think I'm a good prophet. Like, and that's not what I'm here to do. I just listened. I just saw a picture and I relayed a message. But what was so profound in that moment was that he had been intentional in his creating of this young lady. And that he was imparting something of his own heart, and it was the let there be over her as she's being woven together. There's song going on. There's sound going on. I was profoundly touched by this. And then I thought, my imagination was, how old was she when she heard violin for the first time? Now I wished in part I had an interview with her. Because I am a scientist. I'm an artist, but I'm a scientist as well. I just love studying. If this, then that. What? How? You know? What would it have been like when she heard violin for the first time and went, hello, where have you been all my life? I've been waiting for you. And that violin sound going, I've been waiting for you. And maybe there was a beautiful Chinese mom speaking in Chinese to her daughter saying, I could get my Chinese friend to say it, but I'll just say it in English. Which instrument would you like to play? I want to do violin, mummy. Are you sure we can do piano lessons? I have great... Violin, please, mummy. Okay, let's get you a violin. What would it have been like her first moment when she held that and played that first note? What was going on in her gizzards? The cells of her being were all in agreement, going, I was made for this. I was made for this. I don't understand. I don't care for anything else. But this, I know I was made for. Amazing story, right? Now, I don't know if God was playing the violin over all of us. But wouldn't life be boring if we were all the best at violin? Our Creator God is so good that He's placed 8.5 billion different expressions of Himself in the earth, and He's got more up His sleeve. So could it be, as Psalm 139 says, you saw my unformed being. Okay, I don't have the theology or the time to help unpack that, but I'm going to make an inference, and I'm happy to be questioned, even have stones thrown at me. I'm okay. But could it be that because you're made in the image of God, that your spirit just wasn't created when you were knitted together on your conception day? So if your unformed being, he saw it, where did he see it? And did he see it when he sang it? And that maybe when Jesus comes with language in John 15, 16, 17, and 18, that they, these created ones, might come in to what we have had. Was he just calling us back to our beginning? In Christ, in that light. Anyway, I'm just going to leave that there. And this is probably what's fueling that for me. There was a part of this Hebrew conversation about the creation story being sung. They actually said they called it the passionate song. That God sang passionately. It was a passion song. And this idea or thought that in God, the Son dwelling in the Father and the Spirit all in one had a longing so great, a desire so great, and this thought was that there would be a dwelling place on earth. There would be a dwelling place with us, and that we could come into a dwelling place. And this longing cry is what we read, the creation story, a passionate song. So if God was, and I'm just saying, if he was brooding, entered in deeply with love, with such a bigness within him, says to the Son, come, let us make man in our image. And the Son comes forth from the Father, and the light shines into that expanse. Let there be light. Day one. Nothing else is happening on day one. Just his light. It makes sense to so many other elements of the word where it says, and he was crucified before the foundations of the earth. Day one. The foundations of the earth aren't on day one. But what holds all things together is day one. Wow. Jesus is the light of the world. Let's read John 17:21. This is in the Mirror Translation. That they all may be one, exactly as you, Father, are mirrored in me and I in you, that they also will be exactly mirrored to be one in us. Then the entire world will believe and be persuaded about your mission upon my life. If Jesus has been eternally gazing into the Father with and just growing in love, growing in love, growing in love, that Jesus gets so filled with love that he lights up, and that light fills everything. It is the love of the Father in the Son that is that light. And then we are invited to come do some sun gazing. And not just some sun gazing, but to come into fellowship and relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then we get to choose to serve out of that love. And I had this thought this week, what if we were so filled with the love of God that our lives were just a spillover of serving others with the power of God? That we get so filled with the love of God that the container that is our life overflows with power. Very interesting that God separated the light on day one from darkness. So interesting. And it's actually is not, it's the word distinguished and delineated. And there is a very clear line between what is the light of life and what is darkness. Darkness is the fallen mind outside of identity, of relationship. And all you have to do is make a step from darkness into light. It literally comes with that, I believe in that you are the light of the world. I acknowledge you are the light. That's it. On the thief on the cross. Didn't go to church. Wasn't a regular tither. None of the things that we would say made him a righteous man. It was that he believed in the light of the world. Jesus, that's all. And everything from that moment, from that place, is you are now the light. You are now the light. What the flip? 5:12. Last week, Rory gave an amazing second message on offense. Who did some homework? It was really good, hey? Yeah. Such good heart work and such really hard work doing that heart work. And I just want to keep, amazing word, just keep going into that place because the Lord is preparing us for a promotion. It always comes. I've noticed it. Whenever we move up, we've just got to clear up before we move up because God has more. Everyone say, God has more. I want to just put forward to us that we are coming into a place where the light of Jesus is going to increase in the midst of us and in the midst of our own hearts. And it's going to catch us a little bit unawares, particularly if we have a framework and a mindset around orphan and fear. We all do, because we were born into it. The Bible says we were born into sin, so none of us are free from this. We all have darkness thinking. There are shadows over our mindset. Rory was setting it today. Who do you think you are? We question who we are constantly. But as some of us boldly go beyond the veil of the shadow lands and come into the light of Christ, we're going to see you shine. You're going to start shining. Everyone just turn to your neighbor and say, you look so shiny. And something happens when light and light hang out together, it amplifies. And the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me, something happens when we even begin to not just share relationship of honoring one another and respectfully loving one another, but as we begin to praise the Lord together, one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. Because as we begin to praise and sing passionately, like our Creator, something happens at the highest level. God can't help but release the light of life. Oh man, where are his kids? We are the treasure in the darkness. We were in the darkness till he came and shined the light, and then Father said, there it is. That's the one. She's the one. He's the one. Let's stand. Thank you so much. Just this week with the leaders, we had a really lovely time celebrating Rory's birthday through the week. 77 young. Happy birthday, Rory. And as we were fellowshipping and talking together, we were just astounded at how much the Lord is moving in the midst of us. And we really are, as a leadership team, in awe of what the Lord is doing. And our role, one of our roles as leaders, is to keep making room for Jesus. Just keep making room. And we were singing that today, making room. But this is something that we're just tapping into because Heavenly Father has created room. Jesus has created room. The Spirit has created room. There is a seat at the table with your name on it. That is good news. But it is going to take some courage to take up that seat. Because we tend to want to stay in the shadows. Anyone? The shadows are a lot more comfortable. Stepping into the light means, you can see me. I don't know if you're going to like what you see. I certainly don't like what I see. But coming into the light means I'm going to be redefined, not by fear in the shadow, but in the revelation of who he is in the light. as He is in the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. So today, we want to, as a leadership, introduce you or invite you or both into the light. Into the light. And if it's not in the light, to have a heart that says, I don't want it. If it's not in the light, I don't want it. And put a delineation, Lord, in my thinking that that's darkness and I'm not called to darkness. I'm called to light. In fact, He is the light and I am the light. Are we going to own that? Are we going to take a hold of that? As Rory was saying that today, are we just going to let it flow over us like a nice word, or are we going to let the word take a hold of us? There is a beautiful call from the Lord into deeper relationship. Into deeper relationship. And I just want to invite you today to come and respond to the Lord, not just to the front, though the front is open, but just make an internal move, even if it's just into the aisle or to the side of the room or onto the steps, wherever you want to go. But make a move that says, Lord, I want to bring my heart into You and into the light. And I confront the fear that's holding me back, because His light fills all things. His light is the life. Lord, we just are profoundly awed, and we are in a speechless place where it's hard to even express how grateful we are. Lord, our prayer today is bring us into a fuller revelation, a greater experience, a new beginning, another day won. In the name of Jesus. And we just make room for You today to let Creator God sing over you. I'm just going to let the team sing whatever you guys want to sing. You might even not even want to sing words. You might just sing in tongues. But just let's let the light of Christ come.